Praise the Lord. We thank God for all of you for joining us. This present truth is on the air. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather together in your name. We give you praise, Lord, for unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. We come unto you today, Lord, for help as we study the word of God, as we approach the scripture. We ask that the Holy Spirit would give us insight, give us revelation, give us understanding as you impart life to each listener. Thank you for ears to hear that only you can give, Lord, an utterance that only you can give, an unction from the Holy One that only you can give. Thank you, precious Lord, for being with us today. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you that are joining us. The last time we were together on this present truth, we were talking about the importance of divine interruption. And I would like for us to look in Matthew's gospel as we just go a little further in this understanding. I believe the Lord is preparing us for some basic principles of discipleship and understanding what discipleship is all about. You hear the term, but it's begin to be coined like a phrase that's casual amongst children of God. And people are using the term and don't really know what it is from the biblical perspective. Here, Jesus is inviting these that he's calling into a making for them to become something. The emphasis last time was follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. As they followed, they were made. As they were made, they became who God wanted them to be. This is a process of spiritual growth and development that most in church don't know and don't understand. We're instant in our call. We're instant in preaching. And we haven't taken time to consider that there's a process in our becoming, that there's not an instant thing that we rise to. No man can rise to a zenith overnight. Even Jesus didn't begin his ministry until he was 30 years of age. But he knew his purpose when he was 12, when he was baffling the doctors in the law, in the temple. He knew what his purpose was, but it took 18 years of development before he went forth and heard those words after being baptized. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That the father wasn't just pleased, he was well pleased with Jesus. Why? He had been made properly. He didn't get ahead at 26 and like, God, I'm tired of waiting. Lord, when am I going to get married? All these things that push people out. Famine pushes people out. Peer pressure pushes people out to go hurry up and do something so that we can explain to those that are asking us questions. No, wait to be made. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. Here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, I want to just point out one other thing that was mentioned in the scripture. In Luke chapter 5, most of this calling into discipleship, a lot of it, there's similarities in each one of the Gospels. And when Peter and John were called, there's an episode here in in Luke chapter 5 after Jesus told them to launch out into the deep. Jesus told Peter, launch out into the deep, verse 4, let down your nets for a catch. This is the famous passage where Peter said, Master, we've toiled all night, nevertheless, at your word, we will let it down. And that the fish that they caught required multitudes of those partners that were with them to come and help. Now, after this, Simon Peter was deeply affected, verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That just following the instructions of the master, helped Peter get a glimpse of who he really was without Christ. He said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." What made him say that? What made him say that he was sinful? A manifestation of Christ's life. The multitudes of fishes that came all because of Peter's simple obedience to launch out into the deep. He did. And the result was he came back and fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." The nature of what was done broke Peter's heart to where he hit his knees. I want you to see the posture of his heart. That he's on his knees saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Verse 9, "For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken." So this miracle brought an astonishment to all of the fishers in the community. Not just Peter and his brother. Not just the sons of Zebedee. All, look. "And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink." And that's when Simon Peter saw it and fell down at Jesus' feet. Verse 10, "And so also James and John," here are those other sons, the sons of Zebedee, "which were partners with Simon." So you notice Jesus called them around the same time and invited them into what he was doing. Now, notice this miracle is affecting all of them. "They were, which were partners with him, and Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men.'" That this multitude of fish that you've caught is nothing compared to the men that you're going to be catching when I finish making you. It's very important that you see, brothers and sisters, that Jesus knows that Peter is going to go through certain things, but his end is more important than his beginning. His beginning is critical because if he doesn't follow, he won't become. But he does follow, and he became a great apostle of the Lord, and God used him mightily. Peter, you could say, was Mr. Mess Up. He had open mouth, insert foot syndrome. He was always getting himself into something because of what he said. But having learned how to follow, having developed as a disciple, he was mightily used in the vineyard. I want you to see, brothers and sisters, in verse 11, it says, "When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." This is what I really want to emphasize as it relates to divine interruption, because everybody God made, he interrupted them. Everybody that God used significantly, he interrupted them. Do you see Gideon in Judges chapter 6 in the threshing floor hiding from the Midianites? And the Lord appears to him and says, "Hello, mighty man of valor." And Gideon looks around as if to say, "Who's he talking to? I'm hiding. I'm afraid." He interrupted what was going on in his life. David, he's out tending the sheep, and God interrupted him so that he can go and confront Goliath and slay him and begin to change the direction of the nation of Israel at that time in the hands of Saul, who later was a failure. Brothers and sisters, is God intending to use you? Not outside of you being a diligent follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I asked last time, how's your fellowship? Are you following properly? Have you properly submitted to authority and are learning under those hands that are guiding you? Or are you one of those disciples that already knows? You one of those ones that don't, you only follow until they tell you what to do. Now you don't need nobody. You an island all by yourself now. You started your own thing now. Not these. You can see that even those that had other ships, they were partners with Simon and James and John, those that Jesus had called. They were all partnering together. But when it came time to follow, there was a separation. Peter, James, and John, Andrew, they followed. What about you? Have you begun to follow the Lord yet? Are you still chasing behind religion? Religion will keep you so busy, you forget what you're supposed to be doing in the things of God. You get so enamored with the anointing and being used and being invited to preach and preaching on Facebook, which some need to stop, that you forget you were invited into this to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we're following in Jesus is his lordship. Because I must be willing to submit if I'm going to follow. I can't follow anyone that I'm not submitted to. I know too many pastors and apostles feel as though they're so mature in God now. They don't need any authority. Erroneous. You're headed for a fall. Him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. Everybody needs to be submitted to somebody. And I thank God for those that are helping to guide my life as hands that God put in my life to guide me and to help me. Those hands are a great help to me now and where I am and what I'm dealing with and the things of God. I thank God for those hands. They're there as a help to help bring the conformity that's needed to my life in Christ. That's what the hand is for. It's not to boss you around and tell you what to do so that you could be, you know, a son in the ministry under some father that don't even know how to lead. No, I'm not talking about that. That's fake. That's fake authority. I'm talking about following Jesus, who invited you to become something. Did you respond immediately? What I see here too is that when they came, the Bible says, they brought their ships to land and forsook all. Those are issues. Until you bring in your ship, until you stop fishing so that you can follow, until you're done enamoring the miracle that Jesus had done with all the partners, only one came back on his knees saying, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." He was broken over the miracle. He was broken even as God used him in obedience. He just said, "Launch out into the deep for a great catch." He said, "Lord, we've toiled all night. Nevertheless, because of who you are, I will let down the net like you said." And a huge multitude of fish they caught. He needed help. The boats were sinking because of the number of fish. They had toiled all night and caught nothing. And what happened? Jesus comes to the shore and says, "I know, in spite of what you toiled, I feel so bad that you didn't catch nothing last night. Launch out now. I'll direct the fish into the net. Just launch out now into the deep and let your nets down for great." And he did it, and immediately they needed help. Peter comes back and says, "I'm a sinful man." My brother, my sister, have you recognized just the goodness of God in bringing you into his labor? They were asking the Lord, "What is this work of God? How do we do the works of God?" Jesus said, "This is the work of God. Not that you attend church regularly and once during the week. Not that you show up at the feast. But that you believe in the one whom the Father sent." That's Jesus. Do you believe? My brother, my sister, is that what's hindering you from following? Or has it been a lack of forsaking all? That's usually where people get muddled in their fellowship because they want to bring stuff with them. And these, the Bible says right here in verse 11, they brought their ships to land. They had determined, "My fishing days are over." Can you imagine doing that for all your life, brothers and sisters? And following Jesus means the end of your fishing career as you know it. How many of us would try to keep working and follow Jesus at the same time? They had a decision to make. And I believe if you're hearing God clearly, so do you. I want to ask in closing, have you brought in your ship? Have you forsook all? Maybe you've brought in the ship, but you got other ships. it says, they brought their ships to land. They forsook all and followed him. Following requires a forsaking. I'm going to say that again. Following requires a forsaking. We saw that in Matthew's gospel with Simon and Andrew. Straightway, they left their nets and followed. The same account that we read in Luke, in Matthew, the same thing happened, even with James and John, his brother. They were mending the nets and immediately left the ship and their father and followed. They left something before they started following. They forsook something before they started following. And you know what that was? Their previous life. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:17 makes sense. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things. How can you say that? Because I've left all to follow him. My brother, my sister, what have you left sacrificially that compares to what you're going to receive when you follow? Nothing compares to that, but there is a requirement. You must forsake all. Now, those in ministry feel like they don't have to. You know, they're called, they're anointed, so they don't have to do nothing. That's why the grace of God can lift off of a person, because they're no longer following in discipleship. They're no longer pursuing the Lord any longer. They feel as though they've made it. No one has made it, sir. No one has made it, ma'am. As long as you live in a physical body, this self that we have can easily mess up the plan of God. One bad relationship, one marriage that didn't work, one friend that betrayed you and you couldn't recover. Don't play with pain. Forsake it and whatever else came with it, and follow the Lord. Forsake all and follow Jesus. This is critical in the beginning stages of discipleship and what people don't understand, the beginning of their making on the potter's wheel. Many God has yet to begin making because they can't stay stable on the wheel long enough for the hand of the potter to make them again another vessel. Marred in the hand of the potter. My brother, my sister, as we prepare to close today, I want to just help you understand that the nature of divine interruption, as powerful as it is, and the process that proceeds, it requires a deliberate choice, an immediate response, instant obedience, so that this making process can begin. This divine interruption for these that Jesus was calling to himself became a recruiting for a greater glory and demonstration of God's power. These that God was making, he recruited them and opened his life to them so that they could see like an audiovisual of what Christ's life was actually like. Because if you never see it for yourself, certainly you can't impart it to anyone else. Have you yourself encountered this new creation life? Because certainly you can't give what you don't have. And if we're talking about a Christ that we've yet to encounter, then how can we preach and see people respond to what we're preaching? I want to stop here, brothers and sisters, and emphasize that divine interruption changes the direction of a person's life because they've been invited now to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, follow in his steps, follow him so that they can be made to become who God wants them to become. Now, one last thing before we leave, we're in Luke chapter 5. I want you to just turn over to Luke chapter 6 real quick, and I want to read one verse before we pray, because There's a danger here of not becoming. And you'll see this in chapter 6 and verse 16. This is after Jesus had called those that he wanted to be his disciples. Verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. So it was a group of disciples, and 12 were chosen to become apostles. But there were still those who were in discipleship. Notice, he mentions them. Simon, whom he also named Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, here it is, which also was the traitor. That's King James. Which also was the traitor. Now, if you look at this in the New King James of 616, says something just a little different that I want to bring out, or the NIV, one of these translations. Yes, the NIV. When it mentions Judas Iscariot in the NIV translation, it says, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor, which means when his discipleship began, he was not that. He was not a traitor. He came with good intentions. He was recruited as someone that God was going to use, but he never developed. Let me help you. He never became who Jesus wanted him to become. He became something else in his discipleship, which means that even if you follow and respond to Jesus, your outcome still might be that you didn't become who God wanted you. Judas became something else. I want to close today and ask, who are you becoming? Judas was a disciple. He saw the miracles. But at some point in his fellowship, he became a traitor. I believe is when he was offended, when he was questioned about those he wanted to take that spikenard ointment that Mary broke in the presence of Jesus. And he thought he could get money, more money for it. See? And he got offended. Jesus said, leave this woman alone. She's doing this as a testimony unto me for my death. He got offended. And in his discipleship, in his heart, he quit following and became a traitor. When you read Luke 22, the Bible says Satan entered into him, that he was ready to sell out the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew where Jesus was. That's why he told those who went to arrest him where to go to find him, because he knew the prayer locations where Jesus would pray. He became something else. He was a disciple, but he became a traitor. Who are you becoming, sir? Who are you becoming, ma'am, as you follow these so-called ministry people? Who are you becoming? If it's not like Jesus, you're going to be disappointed. The future glory that God has in mind for you is that you become like his son, who he was well pleased with. Not these wannabes, these overnight people that haven't been through anything, who just started preaching because they just felt like it, who calling themselves apostles and are not, who are calling themselves something and have no divine enablement to become that at all. My brother, my sister, there's enough of those that are statistics. There's enough of those that prove that they're not called of God. What about those who follow? Jesus said, follow me. I will make you to become fishers of men. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray for all of these who are on the line today, who are viewing. I don't know who they're becoming, Lord, but if they're listening intently to the word of God, I pray that you would turn their heart back in your direction. Marred in your hand, O God, you can make us again another vessel. But I'm asking today, Lord, don't let us become traitors like Judas. Don't let us become offended in our discipleship. And we're becoming somebody else because we won't let go of the offense. We won't let go of the person that we're blaming. We won't let go of the person who we said did this and that to us. Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus, we release all of those who had their hands on us, whether they added something or took something away from our life. Lord, we just thank you for those that you have used to bring about the making that was needed for our lives. I thank you for those hands, Lord. I can reflect back on those hands that you use to make and to build up my life. And I also can reflect on those who turned in order to make us something else. Father, I just want to bless you. Mercy has kept us. Grace is helping us. And we will continue to be made in accordance to your image and likeness. Thank you, precious Lord, for this study. Divine interruption will be that pivotal instruction that changes the direction of our lives forever. Thank you, precious Lord. We give you praise. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. We'll see you on the next episode. Until then, may God's riches be yours. We'll see you next time. God bless.